May only truth be spoken and only truth received. Amen. I'll never forget that day. It was unlike anything I had ever experienced. The pain was unbearable. I didn't know it could hurt so much to watch your son die. He hung there for hours, you know, struggling to breathe, raising and lowering himself to make room for the breath, tearing on the nails as he did so until he couldn't raise himself any longer. Finally, when I thought it might never end, he cried out in the most tortured of voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He was so scared. Someone ran and filled the sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to him. But he was too weak. He turned his head and said to the heavens, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished." And with that, he breathed his last breath. And I must admit to have been relieved. It was finished. It had been such a long journey getting there. How could I have known when it all began? I was only a child myself the night the angel visited me. "Do not be afraid, Mary," he said. "Do not be afraid." But I was afraid. How could I, a girl of no account, carry this burden, this terrifying gift into the world? I couldn't have known what power dwelt within me, not really. My yes was the uttering of the naive. Everything conspired against him. As he grew, so too grew the threat against him. As he grew into what he was to become, so too grew the fear of those whose power he challenged. And we, as his parents, could do little to protect him. I remember the day we lost him. He was maybe 12 years old. We'd gone as a family to the annual temple festival. We were halfway home, a full day's journey, before we realized he wasn't with us. No one had seen him all day. Nearly out of my mind with worry, I insisted to Joseph that we had to go back to Jerusalem to find him. It took us 3 days to find him. He was at the temple. He was sitting there among the teachers, listening and asking questions. We ran to him and pulled him out of the crowd, but he had no idea why we were concerned. Indignant, he said, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know I'd be in my father's house?" I didn't understand. But I knew. I knew that I was losing him to something far greater than me. As we made the long journey home that day, the words that had come to me when I was first heard I had been chosen by God to be his mother echoed in my ears. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His birth was, in so many ways, unremarkable. In fact, we felt we had failed as parents before we even began because we couldn't find a place to stay in Bethlehem where we had gone to register by order of the emperor. I had gone into labor and we were forced to take refuge in a barn. Who lets the Son of God be born into a feed trough surrounded by animals? We felt utterly unworthy of the responsibility we'd been given. But he was remarkable. So remarkable, in fact, that they came from all over to see him. Shepherds, having been brought the message of his birth by what they described as a multitude of angels, came from the hills. And more would come. And they would continue to come. They would follow him throughout his life, follow him anywhere, and all the way to the cross. And they too, like me, would never fully understand. They followed because they saw in him a light so bright, just being close to it brought light into their darkness. They followed because they knew that his power was true power and would overturn the systems corrupted by humanity. They followed because they knew that without him, all creation would be lost. If left to our own devices, we would destroy it all, including ourselves. Nations would rise against nations. Children would go hungry. Families would be forced to flee their homes. People would walk past those living on the streets, huddled in corners of doorways. Without him, without the promise of him, they would turn away from God. They would believe themselves to be gods, capable of creating life and equally capable of destroying it. They followed because they knew the alternative was a lie. More than 2,000 years will pass after his leaving, and I believe with all my being that they will continue to follow, and they will gather in spite of their doubts, in spite of all of their questions. While wars rage around them and creation groans, they will gather and tell this story, the story of my Son, the Word made flesh, who was and is and ever shall be. Merry Christmas.